40 days on from Christmas Day, when we celebrated the birth of Christ, today we have this festival that marks the events described in our Gospel reading. It's very nice that this year it happens to fall on a Sunday, and of course the Feast of Presentation marks the end of the Epiphany season. We'll be not in white and gold, but in green next week for a few weeks until we reach Lent. Today actually has three different names over the time. The presentation of Christ in the temple, as it's officially known by Anglicans using common worship. The purification of the Blessed Virgin Mary, which is what it actually is described of also in the Book of Common Prayer. And colloquially is known as Candlemas, which is a lot easier because it's shorter. But they all reflect different aspects of the story that I've just read. And I want to focus on each of them, in this sermon this morning. So I've got three titles for three good points for a sermon. The first is the presentation of Christ in the temple. As we heard, every firstborn son is designated holy to the Lord. So St. Luke quotes from Exodus chapter 13, verse 2 and verse 12. And what needed to be done is also described in Numbers 18, verse 15 and following. The firstborn son had to be redeemed. They actually had to pay 5 shekels of silver as well. Although it's not mentioned whether Mary and Joseph did, but one assumes that they did. The child had to be given back to God in recognition that a child is a gift from God. And of course, the ceremony was also to counteract what had existed, may even have still existed amongst societies, certainly many centuries back from the time of Jesus' birth, to counteract the idea of child sacrifice to appease the gods. Now, you came to the temple and offered the firstborn son back to God, paid the redemption price of 5 shekels. But of course, the whole idea of the ceremony was the recognition that everything we have is, of course, a gift from God. He is the author and giver of life, the giver of every good and perfect gift, as we have elsewhere in Scripture. So Mary and Joseph did this as required by the Jewish law, but also it was an act of thankfulness to God. So this morning, thinking about Jesus being presented in the temple, as we remember how Jesus was given back, I want to challenge myself and all of you that we too be a thankful people. Those of us who are privileged to have children, to thank God for them, even when they do nearly drive us around the bend, as I'm sure some do at various times, and I can see some parental smiles around the congregation. Yes, to be thankful for what we have in this life, for all the things that we enjoy, rather than complaining about anything or things that we don't have, which we so easily do. To quote the words of which we find actually in 1 Chronicles, and forgive the ancient language of the King James Version, but it's how I remember it. All things come of thee, O Lord, and of thine own have we given thee. We give back to God, anything we give back to God comes from him originally. So let us give to God our money, our time, and our talents. And as we do so, we are, of course, only giving back what is his in the first place. God's own son is presented back to God by his earthly parents. May we be a generous and thankful people, giving back to God something, praise and worship, but also our lives in thanks for what he has given to us. Presentation. Then purification, the purification of the Blessed Virgin Mary, or St. Mary the Virgin, whichever way round you want to phrase it. Yes, back to the Old Testament again in that wonderful book called Leviticus that all of us know very well. Sorry, Leviticus chapter 12, verses 1 to 5. You will read that a mother who had given birth to a son was unclean for 40 days after the birth. Horribly sexist. If she'd given birth to a daughter, she was unclean for 80 days. Not quite sure why, but there we go. Sorry, ladies. Though it's noticeable that, in fact, Luke says that they went to the temple for their purification. But basically, Joseph, living with Mary, would probably be deemed, because of contact and everything else under Jewish law, to also be ritually unclean. Their offering of two turtle doves or two young pigeons was, in fact, if you read Leviticus, the poor person's alternative. And it is a recognition, as we read this, of the relative poverty into which Jesus was born. They should have offered a lamb, but you could offer two turtle doves or two pigeons if you couldn't afford a lamb. Again, they were fulfilling the Jewish law and custom. But of course, Jesus himself, as an adult teacher, spoke out against the outward ritual observance of the Jewish law and argued instead for inward real change of heart and mind. Of course, the outward ritual cleansing was a recognition and a reminder to the Jewish people that they worshipped a holy God. Of course, Jesus encouraged us, his followers, to call God Father, to enter into that new relationship as his redeemed children. But of course, when we say the Lord's Prayer, as we will later in this service, our Father in heaven, what is the next name line? Hallowed, holy be your name. And as I've explained many times over, for Jews, the name referred to the whole being. Yes, God is holy. Therefore, as we come to worship each Sunday, we have, as we did this morning, our prayers of penitence. There is, of course, just like Jewish ritual cleansing, always a danger that we say the words of the confession by rote, which is why I almost always encourage you, as I did this morning, to have a time of silence before the confession, to reflect upon those things we do need to bring in confession to God. And then, of course, to receive our purification, as I do pronounce absolution as it's known. And I'm always sad, though I don't think it applies to anybody this morning, that some come in so late that they miss it. Because it is important that we have made our confession, received absolution, before, as we have, hear God's word and are called upon to respond to it. And then, of course, gather around the altar and receive the sacrament. So yes, let's be a thankful people as we think of Christ being presented, and a forgiven people as we think about Mary and Joseph being purified. Then, of course, as I say, there is the popular, certainly, name in the past and still used for this festival, calling it Candlemas. Because the story continues with Joseph and Mary and the infant Jesus meeting these two fascinating people, Anna and Simeon, about whom we know no more than what is written here in the Gospel. There's no other reference to either of them anywhere else in Scripture. Anna is, of course, a reminder that women's ministry is not a 20th century or 21st century invention, but was a first century reality, sadly lost a few centuries later by the Christian church. But Simeon is the one who gives us his song, which we'd better know by its opening words in Latin as Nunc Dimittis, sung at Compline and in the Book of Common Prayer at evening prayer. And of course, it has those two lines, typical Jewish parallelism, saying one thing and then saying a similar thing in the next line. A light for revelation, or to lighten the Gentiles, and for the glory of your people, Israel. And so the name Candlemas came because, marking this festival in churches, people sometimes did have a procession of lighted candles taking the light of Christ out into the world. I didn't have any candles to bring with me, so I won't make you do that this morning, but it actually can be quite effective. It's a nice way of marking the end of the Epiphany season. But as we do come to the end of the Christmas and the Epiphany season, as I say, ordinary time begins tomorrow when we go green, we remember that the infant born at Bethlehem, made manifest to the Gentiles in the form of the wise men, made manifest at his baptism, as we were thinking about a couple of weeks ago, by John the Baptist, made manifest through the call of his first disciples, and as David and the children are remembering, made manifest through his first miracle at Cana. He is the one who has been born into our world to bring salvation. "Mine eyes have seen your salvation," says Simeon. Yes, to save us from our sins and bring us into that new relationship with God. And he brings light into darkness, as he says, for everybody, Gentile and Jew alike. A light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people, Israel. And so as we do come to the end of the Epiphany season, marking this Feast of Presentation, may we give back or present back to God all that he has given to us, and always remember to be a thankful people. May we seek purification, forgiveness, so that we may worship God whose name is holy. And thirdly, may we rejoice in the salvation won by Jesus and go forth from our worship this morning committed to taking the light of Christ out into the world of which we are part, and to people among whom we live and work. In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.